Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the podcast. I have some very exciting announcements coming for you in the next couple of weeks, so please stay tuned. I'm doing an entire revamp of the podcast, a little rebranding moment, so more to come. I'm very, very excited about taking my show that has given me so much joy and so many different opportunities and amazing moments with different people, and I'm going to be taking it to the next level. So stay tuned for that, but in the meantime, I have an amazing episode for you today. And my guest today, she is a songstress and a curve model. She was also Miss West Virginia almost a decade ago. She is an amazing human being, and I'm super excited to have her on the show today. Please welcome my friend, Miranda Harrison. And we're live.
Yay.
Miranda, it is great to meet you.
So great to meet you.
And I'm very excited that you're on my show. And thanks for coming in, especially, I know you just had a cross-country flight.
Oh, yeah.
So that means a lot that you took the time to come in.
Of course. Of course. That's the New York vibe. I lived here for a while, too. So I like to just get here and get into the mix. And I was just saying to you, this is my first podcast. So when I heard we were doing it, I jumped on it.
I'm very honored. It's a big honor. I don't know how else to say it.
You're so sweet. But I watched a bunch of your podcasts and you're so cool. And it seems like you do a really good job of like checking the vibe of all of the people that you bring in and kind of like let it happen, you know? So well, I just thought that was really cool.
I appreciate that. Thank you. So I told you a few seconds ago, there's a little tidbit, a little story, a little something mm-hmm. the world doesn't know about you from what's already out there.
Yeah. So I feel like from where all of the internet stuff has come from, I think the internet doesn't know one of the most important things to me, and that's that I'm a singer as well. I started modeling, hustling, working at a dispensary in LA, doing, you know, 7 jobs at one time when I first moved to LA to be able to afford the music. Mm-hmm. And my modeling took off, and then the wedding happened and the viral moment of it all. But I really want people to, you know, be able to hear this music that I've been sitting on while doing all these hundreds of jobs and doing that. So that's kind of like my little Hannah Montana secret of it all.
But I feel like, to be fair, like mm-hmm. at least, and I'm just going off mm-hmm. the Instagram bio, mm-hmm. songstress is the first thing in your bio.
I try to tell them.
Maybe we should capitalize it.
Yeah. It's just one of those things too that I feel like, you know, all of our favorite mm-hmm. Celebrities, all of the people yeah. who motivate and inspire us have 100 jobs, right? Like our favorite singer has a perfume, you know, like that's crazy that we try to like limit ourselves, or people tell us that you can only do one thing mm-hmm. so often. I mean, how yeah. many people do you hear
yeah,
that story from, you know? But the people who we would love to be on the same tier of can have a line in Kohl's and a luxury perfume at the same time, you know, while getting a Grammy and a Tony and everything else. So I try to make sure that it's known, but I've kept my head down and been hustling, but definitely want to be known more for my music.
So how frequently have you been putting out music, and like how are you trying to have that be at the forefront of why people know you as opposed to everything else that you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's all cool. Like, I think it's incredible yeah. to feel so passionate about so many different aspects of my life. I know people who are at the same wavelength and like time period of life that I'm in who still are trying to figure out mm-hmm. even who they are, what hobbies they yeah. actually enjoy doing, yeah. right? So I feel very grateful to have so many. I've put out a few songs over the past couple years, not enough. I work with really talented people who are also super successful and killing it. So it'll be really great. Like, I'll start working on a project and then everyone goes on tour. And it's so cool to see, to work with so many people who are actually doing it and working hard and in the studio, on tour. But my main focus for this year is like really making that time for myself. And it's also kind of a topic of conversation with a lot of girls my age of like mm-hmm. making the time for the things that you actually enjoy, whether that's literally painting by fucking numbers or going after the job that you've always wanted.
Right.
And I'm kind of trying to do both, you know, paint by numbers and also and also the things that really matter to me. And I've got a few singles out. I've got a project that I'm finishing up right now. But the sky's really the limit on that. So.
Where is there a single that you want to particularly highlight? If somebody were to listen to you, to your music, what's the first one, or maybe the second or third, I don't know, that you want people to
There's
listen to?
There's two for sure. I'm really proud of the first single that I put out, Rearview. I had been out in LA for like 3 months, and I came in like I was Christina Aguilera. Like I was like, it's time to get to work.
Obsessed. Love that.
So worked really hard on that one and was very proud of it. Gorilla styled that whole music video on a dollar budget. Sorry to Turbo. We are, what's it called? Where you rent the cars? Is it Turo?
Yeah.
I was like 24 at the time, and you can't rent like nice cars unless you're like 28 or something like that. So we like made up this whole story on surprising my boyfriend so that I could rent this car and that he would be driving it afterwards. Oh. And the Turo owner like pulled up on us at the shoot,
and,
and I'm in like a white gown on the side of the beach in this vintage car. He's just running late at the airport, you know. So that one just like it holds like a very special place in my heart, and I think it's really good. Yeah. I think a lot of people are really embarrassed with the first song that they put out, and I love that song. But the last song that I put out was called You Don't Know, and I put that out last year.
Okay.
And it was filmed all on Super 8 and is kind of really the first love story and song that I've ever written. I love to act like I'm heartbroken. I've been in a relationship forever, like literally forever.
But yeah, so, well, I guess since you brought up, I obviously have to ask. And hubby is a musician himself.
He is.
Country.
He is, yeah.
So have you guys ever collabed or is this in the works?
So Rearview, we actually wrote together,
which
was so cool. He actually was in my music video too, and I'm in a majority of his, which is really amazing. We love working together. I feel like I could talk about this man all day long because he really is great. And like, I know I'm in a room full of straight men right now, but like there is a very small amount of them out there that I really, really fuck with, and he is on that list.
I hope so.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. But you know, some people are like, my husband,
it's,
you know?
Yeah, it's true.
We're still new, but I mean, 10 years in at this point. So, but yeah, we work together on everything. When he's on tour, I'm his photographer, tour wifey. We do it all together. So I love collaborating with him on everything.
Okay, wait, I have a lot of questions. So you guys met 10 years ago, you said, or more?
Yes. So technically, we met about 10 years ago. I competed for Miss America.
Right.
And an ex-boyfriend showed me his music.
But so wait, okay.
And I was like, you're trying to tell me this man is from West Virginia? Because I've never seen a man like this in West Virginia, not once.
Damn.
And, you know, he was really big, especially in West Virginia as like a rapper at the time. And he slid in my Twitter DMs.
No, the Twitter DMs.
So the Twitter DMs, yeah.
That's kind of cheeky.
It's super cheeky.
Wait, but hold on.
Because I'm like silly goose over there too.
But hold on, so I know you did Miss West Virginia first.
Yeah.
You won that.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And then, so he probably found through that.
Yes.
Okay.
And he reached out in like a very, very kind way too. Like
it wasn't like a slide.
It was not a slide. He was like, if there's anything I can do to support you, because he also is like, I would say one of the biggest artists from West Virginia.
Okay.
So was really just trying to like rep the state, was so kind about it. And I was like, sure, whatever.
So it was a professional slide.
Yeah. But like I was almost unprofessional. Like I was like, yeah, anyway, so what are you doing today? And yeah, we just hit it off. Long story short, just a couple months after dating casually, my stepdad got open heart surgery, and it was very unexpected. He'd already had it once before 15 years prior. And I called him, was terrified. We also were like very casually dating. And I'm like, I don't have anyone to call. I'm going to call this man in LA time, freaking out in West Virginia. And when I called him, he was like, my dad's a doctor. If there's anything that I can do, I get to the hospital and my mom's like, tell me about this guy you're dating. Like, get my mind off of this. What's going on? Who is this guy? who's his dad? I probably know him because my mom, my whole family's from West Virginia. I was like, oh, I'll never forget his dad's name. It's Ira Morris. And my mom starts sobbing uncontrollably. I'm like, what is going on? And my mom was a news reporter in my hometown of Charleston, West Virginia. His dad was a doctor and would come on for like a health segment on the weekends. Mm. And they used my stepdad as a like example for heart health. And when they were done filming, he said, I think you need to go to the doctor. Wow. Something's wrong. And my stepdad had his first open heart surgery days later.
Oh my God. So from 15 years before that moment.
All due to David's dad.
Wow.
Yeah. And
that's
for
crazy.
Dude, insane. And as soon as my mom told me that, I was like, this man is so stuck with me. It's crazy. Yeah. Like that. I'm going to have to
marry him,
convince
potentially.
Him now. Marry him, potentially. And we have a photo from my fourth birthday party of him at my birthday party.
No way.
And I'm holding like a little stuffed animal dog, and we have a little dog now. It was so trippy. So
wait, hold
crazy.
Hold on. What's the, are you guys same age?
No, so he's 6 years older.
Okay.
And my mom's whole memory of him at that birthday party was like, there's a, 9-10-year-old boy who was so annoyed to be at this 4-year-old's luau themed birthday party.
Sure, that's,
yeah, like she was just help like trying to keep him engaged the whole time.
Crazy.
And yeah, she thought it was a photo of him and his brother at the party for years. It was talked about. And once we got engaged, we just started ciphering through the photos and found the photo. It was nuts.
This is like string theory at its finest.
Oh, at its
this
finest.
Is like actually like the definition of string theory.
At its finest. Yeah, and there's so many wow. connections. Like we have so many friends. I didn't grow up in Charleston. I moved to Richmond, Virginia.
I heard when you were 5.
Yeah,
did I read
yeah.
this correctly?
Oh, look at
that. Yeah, we do our homework over here, Miranda.
I love to see it. Yeah, I moved when I was 5. But Charleston and West Virginia like always is my home. My whole family is from there and still there. And we just have so many connecting factors, but I mean
that's
the nuts. and the parallels of it all with my stepdad's second surgery, it was fate. You know, I feel like we were taking things really slowly then, but I knew what it was.
Okay. So wait, before even this, so
yeah.
he slides in the DMs, mm-hmm. you guys go back and forth, but he's mm-hmm. in LA at the time.
Yeah.
So then when do you meet for the first time?
So he came in town because he was touring.
Okay.
And he's like very family oriented. So like his best friend, DJ E-Train, it was his DJ on tour, his other best friend, photographer, everything. Mm. And we went on a little date in our hometown to-
Where did he take you?
Okay. So, you know, he was
Believe
on tour.
Believe it or not,
so.
I've been to West Virginia. I know
Have
like
you?
Not a lot of New Yorkers can say that.
What part?
Charleston. Charleston.
Yeah, I think there's also Charlestown, but-
yeah,
Charleston's the capital. That's like
yeah, then the capital. Because there's that little dome building, the mm-hmm. capital.
Yes.
And then I went to a good pizza place, like probably like one of the better ones. It seemed it's quite
Lola's.
Good.
Lola's. If it was
it
Lola's,
it could have actually.
Is it a house? Like, is it like a little mini house?
I can't remember.
So that's I worked at Lola's. I'm very partial to Lola's
well,
there.
I'm gonna
yeah,
at the
look
same
it up,
time.
Please. Pies and Pines is another really good one though too. Shout out to both of them. But Lola's was, it is
you
this
there?
Incredible, incredible pizza spot. That was my last job in West Virginia before I moved to New York.
I think it might have been Pies and Pints.
Pies and Pints slaps.
Is it good?
Yeah. They have a grape pizza that's incredible, like grape and it's gorgonzola.
Is it in like downtown?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I think I went there.
And like downtown is being like
yeah,
very,
yeah.
very nice. Like,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, it's like three streets.
Yeah, correct.
But
I meant more just like near things.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
But so David was touring, so he didn't have a okay. car. So I came and scooped him up. And this is like how small my hometown was. We were like, let's go on a coffee date. And there were like no coffee shops at the time. So we literally went to Starbucks in the Target. in the Target. And it was very sweet. We like had our first kiss in the rain. And then he was like, would you like to come in and meet my entire family and all of my best friends? But this is super casual, like not looking for anything serious right now.
Damn.
And I knew where it was the whole time. Yeah.
And so then you guys are, when do you guys become like official?
So we really took our time. I was in a relationship like with a college boyfriend before meeting David. And I honestly think every relationship I'd ever been in prior to that was very property-based. I feel like it's like a very big thing in the South of dating someone for 2 weeks and saying I love you. So I didn't really know what I liked in a relationship and like taking that time. Mm-hmm. And that's like a big differentiator with David and I. We were pretty casual for like 2 years of like a decade relationship. Yeah. And right around that 1.5, 2 year mark was when I was moving up to New York. And I was like, I know that I love you. Mm-hmm. And I know that you do too. But if we're not, I'm not going to let this just slip from underneath us. I want to be intentional, you know, especially because I knew how important he was to me and how important like our friendship was mm-hmm. in the relationship. And I think sometimes when you're not like nurturing a relationship, when you're not watering the relationship, it can get away from you, you know? So I was like, let's take a pause on this and see if we come back. And we did. I dated a DJ in between. So it was, you know, inevitable at that point. But we remained friends and was never any beef or anything. It really was like both of us truly understanding that like both of us needed to grow a little bit to get to that next step of the relationship. And when we got back together, it was
donezo.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow. And so then you guys officially married when?
Yeah, we got married in October.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so Brandon, it was like 5 months a couple days ago. So that part is crazy where I'm like, we've almost been.
Does it feel any different?
So I've seen, this is like a big debate on when people say that like it doesn't feel any different because there's a part of me that says it doesn't feel any different and it shouldn't. Like it shouldn't take the like wedding ring going on your finger for that person to be your partner, especially if you're, you know, buying a house, sharing a life with a person, right? But I think the forever aspect, like really, that part really hits where I knew I wanted to be with him forever, but walking through life with someone and like making those major life decisions and planning for those things, doing that with someone that you know you're in it with for the long haul is just, there's nothing like it. And I every day I'm like there's a little bit more gratefulness and a little bit more love that gets built on that I could not put a price tag on. Like it's the coolest thing ever.
What do you, and maybe also what does David do to intentionally nurture the relationship?
So that's a big thing for me, especially with him being a touring musician and going back and forth between LA and Nashville. So since our relationship started long distance, I feel like we both hold it as a responsibility to be really present. Mm-hmm. And it can be difficult. But I do think that almost kind of trained us to be intentional. Like when we have date nights, phones are off.
Yeah.
No one's calling, you know. David is like moves in intention. Like my feet don't even touch the ground before I have a perfectly made coffee in the morning. I don't ask for it. I never have. It's just something that he does to show his love. That orange peel theory is David in a person, you know? I think we both just actively try to be very present and communicate as much as possible too. Especially with like the long distance and touring of it all, it can be really easy to get wrapped up in everyday life.
Right.
And I think constantly checking in and communicating on that of like what the other person needs or what you want and that there being an open space for that has been something that I've never experienced in any other relationship before.
What's it been like? Because I guess he had been successful when you like already in his career, more developed in his career, and you were just getting started, I presume. What's it then been like also, I imagine, for him, it's probably been so cool to see you have your own career and do your own things, also seemingly working together, which is super, super cool. But what's that been like for you as well to kind of do that together and also on your own and carve your own path and your own career?
Yeah, it's been incredible. When I first started dating David, I was dating a rapper and got married to a country singer. Yeah. So also the trajectory for him has been, I've seen the full change there and transition and the work ethic that he put into that. It's been incredible. I would say on my side and the support that he's been for me is unlike anything I could have asked for. Like, I couldn't have prayed for a better situation. I also think it was really cool that his music kind of, he popped on TikTok, and mm-hmm. that's where a lot of his supporters and communities came from. So when all of this happened for me, we were literally getting on a plane to Europe for our honeymoon. And there was not a second that we were on that trip where if I had to check an email or get on a Zoom, it was me that didn't want to do any of it. And he's like, babe, London's calling. Be like, get on that phone call. Do that outfit of the day today. He really, like, the second it started happening, he was there for every bit of it. I mean, we were in like a 5-star hotel in Italy, and he's walking backwards doing like doing the walking that. Videos oh, I remember for
that
me.
One. Yeah. I do that one too.
And all my friends were like, oh, I would pay so much money to see David running backwards right now for you in Italy. But like, that's him to a T. Like, he would do that any day. And I feel like throughout our whole relationship, anything that I wanted to try, experiment with, whether it was my music, whether it was making more time for myself and not doing the freelance gigs, mm-hmm. he has always been my number one supporter, even as far back as when I was slinging pizzas at Lola's. Damn. So he believed in me from the beginning, and it's been very beautiful to watch us both have these really pivotal moments in our careers and do it together, and also be able to look back on literally a decade worth of time.
Have you always personally believed in yourself and that you could do what you're doing today?
Yes. I knew from a young age that I was going to be in the industry. I was like, I don't want to be the center of attention, you know? And I grew up in theater and sang, but I never knew that it would happen this way, especially with social media. Mm-hmm. Like, you've heard the story 100 times. People work so hard every single day, filming those TikToks 40 times over to, like, make sure the audio's right, you know, like, learning all the new editing tricks and stuff. And for the moment to kind of happen in such a genuine way, I mean, it started with a video of me just dancing with my niece at my wedding, mm-hmm. you know? I never would have expected it to be this. But as for, like, confidence and belief in myself, it took a long time for me to really build it. And imposter syndrome is tough. Yeah, it comes in waves. So I'm constantly kind of, like, checking in with myself and making sure that I feel good where I'm at and, like, I'm proud of what I'm doing. But I think that's a big part of it, is if you know why you're doing it, it makes it a lot easier to believe in yourself, like, along the way.
So why are you doing it?
So I feel like the main reason why I'm doing it is for little Miranda. Like, I remember being 8 and knowing that I wanted to be in TV and film and be in that spotlight, do Broadway, do all of those things. And I remember the pushback of, like, kids being like, you're 8, babe. Like, you know, maybe learn how to draw on the lines a little bit better first. But that it was almost scary to young people, even mm-hmm. in college, of, like, knowing exactly what I wanted to do. And the pushback on that was just insane always. I always remember being like, why is it so bad that I know who I am, or mm-hmm. I know what I want to be, or I know why I'm working so hard at these things. The other thing is definitely my mom. Like, she held me down as a single mom when I was younger. And if I wanted to be a plumber, she would have made sure that I was the best plumber in town. If I picked up a guitar, she made sure that I, like, made the time to practice and found a teacher who worked with me, not just, you know, next to me. So, you know, she spent a lot of money on voice lessons. I gotta pay her back one way or another. Yeah.
Do you consider that you've had a blow up, or, like, there's, like, pinpointing one moment? I know you mentioned, like, mm-hmm. a couple, but is there one that you personally felt like, oh, okay, something's coming here, or something's
the
here?
Wedding, for sure. Yeah. I've been hustling on the internet for a long time. The modeling all started really for me in the pandemic. I was doing it for fun. I mean, you know, as an actor, as a singer, you have to have photos, right? You have to be on social media. Right. So I was doing a lot of it for fun, and it would kind of, like, be a part of the perks mm-hmm. With the job. And then when the pandemic happened, I had moved in with my best friend, who's an incredible film photographer, one of my favorite creatives ever.
Is in LA?
Yes. Carrie Ann Older, icon. She's truly the best. And we were kind of stuck.
Mm-hmm.
We were stuck in a pretty tiny apartment together, literally. And looked at each other one day and thought to ourselves, you got the camera. I can model. Let's see what we can do with these like in-house campaigns, really kind of like the pre-UGC mm-hmm. of it all, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where that started. But the wedding really was something I've never seen before. I worked really hard to get to like 48,000 followers on Instagram prior to the wedding. And I was literally sitting in my hot tub with my friends the day after the wedding, like, how funny is this of me and Evie at the wedding? And put my phone down, and 5 minutes later, it was like 100,000 views. Holy and shit. I just started seeing numbers. I literally had 1,800 followers on TikTok the day that all of this happened. And like a week later, it was at 80K. I've never experienced seeing anything like that. You can see my shoulders like shrug as I started to talk about it. It was a very eye-opening experience for me, but I knew how hard I had worked to like find a community mm-hmm. who gets me and is down and fun and along for the ride. And the second I got them, I was like, "All right, it's time to go. We're gonna do this thing right."
So then, like, what's the brainstorm? Like, what's the next step? Because that is a significant, you know, overnight.
Yeah.
Difference in terms of just like, you know, doors opening, I'm sure, and possibilities and all that other fun stuff. So like for you, what did you, were you like, okay, wait, what's going on here? What should I do?
So I first started, whenever it happened, just started talking on TikTok videos and everything. I felt like for the most part, I was really just like uploading photos mm-hmm. and really not showing who I was. It was more of almost like an online portfolio, like most of us that are creatives use it as. But there was kind of this light that went off that was like, okay, how many photo sets have I posted? How many behind the scenes videos from shoots have I posted where people are like, yeah, this is sick. But a genuine moment with me and my niece is what caused all of this, right? So like, maybe I should just try being myself on the internet. And I think that's where I'm headed right now, is kind of the mixing in my career goals and ambitions with also being like an internet bestie for the girls who need that little boost of confidence mm-hmm. And letting that kind of take me where it leads. There are so many incredible opportunities with social media. I mean, we're seeing TikTok creators be hired as season regulars on Abbott Elementary and these major TV shows. Oh yeah, shout out
to Sabrina Brewer.
Dude, that's so cool.
The homie, yeah.
Yeah, dude, she's iconic.
She's killing.
And so funny.
Yeah,
and I love that show too. So I'm like very, very biased to Abbott Elementary. But to me, that's a perfect example of how creators have been belittled for a few years. Like I remember when there was a few content creators who were brought onto the Met Gala a few years ago, and it was like the joke of the century, you know? And now they are the season regulars. They are the talent, you know? Yeah. And they're being recognized as such. So for me, I want to be able to utilize it to move to those career goals.
I mean, I think what's cool too for you is like there's all of it, I'm sure, and maybe you already realize it, and sometimes it's always nice to get reminders, like they all work together, mm-hmm. you know? And like I think like you like, it's cool to see you have so many different passions and talents. And I think, you know, what you were saying earlier about people being able to do multiple things at once, like you're a great case in point of, you know, being able to do that and do it successfully. For you, then how do you like take all of the different things that you're doing and then mesh them together into, you know, your brand and your identity and more than just the social media, which, you know, in and of itself is mm-hmm. obviously super valuable, mm-hmm. but then going past that too as well.
I think it's definitely made me way more fearless in my career. Like you can message people on Instagram that you want to work with and want to create with and have amazing opportunities come of that. I really am trying to figure out, the big thing for me is time. I always feel like I'm on borrowed time.
Yeah.
So trying to get that schedule. Like, I saw a girl the other day who said that she has organic content days and the non-organic content days. And she films all of these things on Mondays and all of the other things on Wednesdays. I
That's crazy.
I do not. So I'm trying to learn to be a little, to actually treat it like a business. I feel like that is like a big part, which in turn makes me respect the time of others more and makes me want to connect with more people and work harder on my career outside of social media. But it's kind of like business 101 on both ends for sure.
Do you ever fear that some of the, like the adrenaline rush of getting X amount of followers in a night, then, because it's like sometimes it could be like almost like a drug, like it's like you kind of like live, and I have friends and people in this situation where they have big followings and it's like, and they get sucked into it where then they're doing everything in their life for followers and likes and views and whatnot, and they're fucking miserable.
Yeah, that's my biggest fear. So if anything, I'm like okay. I'm very conscious of wanting that. I'm very hyper aware of it. I do think I kind of got a crash course on it. This all happening while being on my honeymoon and like needing to be present with my husband.
Italy, you said?
Yeah, so we went to Europe. We went to London, Paris, and then went all over Italy for 11 days. It was incredible. But that kind of trained me a little bit because it was like, okay, well, the people are here and you need to post today, you know. Paid big bucks to an iconic content creator for my wedding. So had those drafts ready to go, you know, and I would post, I respond to a few things, and then it goes away. Like I can't look. Yeah. I think the biggest thing that I feel with it is when that something starts to go viral is when I get nervous. Like it's almost the opposite. It's not validation. It's
what makes you nervous?
Some scary people are about to come out, because it just does, right? Oh. You cycle through the like, fun people of the internet, and then it reaches that like one audience, and
does it affect you?
Like I said, it affects me in a way of just like, oh, like what's gonna come of this? Mean comments don't affect me because I did Miss America. Like you literally cannot hurt my feelings, you know? Like that is impossible, actually. I dare you. No, please don't. But I think the thing that does affect me is like it's almost the like passive aggressive comments that will get me. Like, I had a girl the other day message me and be like, I need to know how much you weigh, because I think we weigh the same, and I've always thought I was ugly and disgusting. But since I've seen you, I feel better.
That's a crazy, I don't even know what to say to that.
Oh, the audacity is like free.
Wait, what do you even say to that?
Absolutely nothing. That is a hidden DM. That stays in the hidden DMs, yeah.
I feel like the most backhanded, but like, I don't even know what to...
The curve model lane gets a little tricky, because I want to be a place where women can come to me and get a boost of confidence that they rightfully deserve, you know, by being themselves and finding someone on the internet who's happy to just be that, you know? But it does get a little tricky in that end.
What is the differentiation or classification of like curve model by definition? Like, what is that? Because I think there's been so, especially like in the last 20, maybe 30 years, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm curious to learn more about it. It's like there's different ways that people are, or different terminologies that people are using, specifically in this industry that has obviously a lot of issues in and of itself.
Yes.
So I'm curious to kind of hear your POV and learn more about that.
Well, it changes every day.
Okay.
So, it's something new. I moved to LA in the end of 2017. And I fearlessly went to like every single modeling agent, even ones that like I had absolutely no reason to go into. But my thought process was, if you go, the scariest thing that you could ever do is out of the way now,
you
right?
Miss America. Isn't that scarier? No.
I think it was because I was on stage singing that like it felt comfy. Like I was like, I could do this interview because just wait till I sing, you know?
Yeah.
So walking into those and it strictly being based off of like what you look like and what your portfolio looks like, I was afraid to get laughed at, and it did not happen once. The top agencies were so kind to me. And cool. I was very unprepared. Like I needed to have more than three photos, you know? Right. But I walked in, I wanted to do that and kind of get those scaries out of the way. But I remember being told, like, I think there's going to be a curve model at this agency, or like a division in this agency, and you're not quite plus size, but you're not a straight size model. So I feel like it kind of switches in between curve and mid size. I'm seeing a lot of mid size right now.
Okay.
That's kind of like the...
How do you feel about these terms?
I don't... pay me.
Yeah.
You know? Facts. You can call me whatever you want. If that check comes in...
Obsessed with that energy.
I do not care.
No, yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and be like, I'm a model. Call me just a model. Like, I don't care, you know? And I do think that it's important for women to see representation, you know, in mainstream media and like commercial and print, that they... feel inclined to and feel that representation in, you know? So if you have to slap the name curve on the front of it, cool. It's also weird for me to walk around and be like, I'm a model, but there's something about like, oh, I'm a curve model that feels a little bit more comfy to me. So maybe I am a little bit more comfortable with that side of it. But yeah, it changes every day. We'll see what it's called next year.
What have you noticed like within the industry since, I guess, 2017, 7 years now? Mm-hmm. The ways that it's kind of working around all these different classifications and labels and names, and then also dealing with, I think, the, you know, they want to adjust with the times, I would hope, at least. And then, you know, there's even sometimes for them, it's the political correctness aspect. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many different factors. I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm curious for you, because I'm not in this industry, is to know like what it's been like to kind of see it and dissect it.
I definitely would say I'm the most booked I've ever been in the past year and a half, which is amazing.
Pay you.
Yeah. Like I said, run that check. But I also think that comes with brands like finally becoming comfortable with being inclusive, or, you know, the people who are buying their products demanding them to be. Every once in a while, I do come on set and I can see a little bit of like the tokenism, you know?
Oh, I see.
Which, as a white, blonde, curvy model, it's like, if I'm the most inclusive you can get, we've got some work to do. You know what I mean?
Right.
But for the most part, it's been incredible. Like, I feel like I have never been treated better on set. There really is this freshness that has come to working in this industry that I just didn't feel before. And I honestly probably would have gotten into it a little bit sooner if I would have had the experience that I've had over the past couple years. But I also think the way that I went about it, like starting my modeling career professionally with my closest friends and like building that team together and getting comfortable that way made me so much more comfortable in all other aspects, because I had done the work and I'd done it with my friends. I was very proud of it. So walking on set, I don't have to feel any type of way, you know?
I am so comparatively to like a Miss West Virginia or Miss America, probably a little different. But like, so I truthfully know nothing about this. I can kind of like tell what the vibe is. But like, for somebody that's completely far removed from this, will you explain what that kind of process is like? To the casual viewer like myself.
So for me personally, I didn't do the toddlers and tiaras of it all. I wanted to go to NYU. My mom was like,
I read about this, yes.
Baby, where are you gonna find that money? Because it's not in this house. And I found the Miss America organization, and Miss America is a scholarship organization rather than a beauty pageant. So that's kind of like the big differentiator between Miss USA and Miss America.
Okay.
And so I got into it strictly, honestly, for time on stage and to get that money for school.
And you're how old at that time?
I was 15.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like end of my 14, 15, end of my freshman year of high school. I will say it's the reason I'm here. Like, I don't think I would have gained the confidence or the work ethic without how much you have to do it on your own. Like that, that is a job that's given with infinite possibilities if you utilize it correctly. So especially for a smaller state like West Virginia, for example, Miss New York has so many incredible sponsors, a huge team of directors. Miss West Virginia does not have that, you know, or didn't at the time. So I worked really hard to get sponsorships and events scheduled, charitable events put together to really make an impact on my community. But going to what you were saying of like, it's probably not the same as Miss America. So when I started the organization, there was this thing called Voy Boards, which was essentially like Reddit. It's like anonymous Voy board or like message boards.
Danger.
Yeah. And then imagine it's just, you know, disgruntled parents whose kid didn't win the pageant, just talking about children. And it's, so that's why I don't give a fuck about what you say about me on TikTok or Reels, because my best friend's mother has probably said it about me when I was 15.
How do you spell that?
V-O-Y. It was like blocked in my house. Like you couldn't, my mom was like, you so it's are like Reddit. Not going on that website. Yeah. Yeah. I hope that they're not around anymore. But it was like utilized in a really nasty way. Yeah, I mean, it really was just shit talking. And it was so funny because the Miss America organization's all about empowering women, but don't get on the wrong side of the internet. Yeah. Yeah. So it definitely gave me a thick skin. And again, the work ethic, the fact that I'm in very minimal student debt, which I don't think a lot of people within a 10-year age gap of me can say at all.
Right.
I cannot be more grateful for the experience I had, both on the good and bad. And I feel like a lot of people move away. And it took me some time, too. Like, I think I was so proud of it and held on to it for so long. And then there was just a moment where I was like, this is not my identity anymore. And kind of like revolted against it, you know, like people expect you to act a certain way and talk a certain way and never say fuck in a podcast and, you know, all of the things. And I kind of needed to like find my own identity a little bit after that. But the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it in between is the reason why I'm even sitting here with you today. Like I'm very grateful for the experience I got out of it. I met my husband in it all. I mean, there's so many good things that came from it. But if we're talking etiquette on set, instead of etiquette behind stage, the two very different things.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So for you, where do you want to take all of this? Because I feel like in the grand scheme of things, like your career is so young, you're so young. Like there's so many different.
Thank you for saying I'm so young. Wow. Thank you.
You are. So where do we go? Where do we take all this momentum and energy and where are we putting it towards?
Yeah. So I just keep not to quote Mean Girls, but the limit does not exist. Oh, like I really am in a place right now where anything that feels good to me, I want to say yes to, but also really working on a brand for myself. Serena is a perfect example of that, to bring up the queen herself, of, you know, taking who she is as a person, right? And like who she wanted to be to the world, and creating a brand around that and having all of those opportunities. I could see Serena at the Met doing interviews. 100%. I could see her on Abbott Elementary. I could see there's 100 places where I could see her because of what she's created for herself and the brand literally being herself, right? And I think that that's like something that's really important to me is I don't want to stray away. I don't want to get to be that miserable influencer who like has, you know, tears coming down their face as the timer starts for the TikTok dance. You know, if you see me dancing on TikTok, call someone. Really? Yeah, for sure. I cannot be learning choreography on TikTok. Like it looks fun, but I want to enjoy my career in this time and, work on my brand, work on my merch line becoming more of a brand in itself.
Yeah.
Really just building up.
And now we're just going to take a quick break to talk to you about my longtime sponsor in U.S. Wellness Meats. At uswellnessmeats.com, you can choose from over 350 foods raised the way nature intended. That includes 100% grass-fed and grass-finished beef, lamb, bison, elk, and dairy. They also have pasture-raised heritage pork, wild-caught seafood, and pasture-raised poultry. These are some of the host of foods that you can find at uswellnessmeats.com, where the owners are the actual farmers themselves, and now they've introduced a subscription food delivery service and curated sample farm bundles. Choose the bundle of food you want to receive every month, and they'll deliver it right to your door automatically. It's never been easier to serve your family real, honest-to-goodness food without the junk. U.S. Wellness Meats is the choice of championship sports teams, professional athletes, chefs, world-class trainers, and families just like yours all over America. Use promo code PODCAST, that's P-O-D-C-A-S-T, to save 15% off of every order at uswellnessmeats.com. Now let's get back into it.
It's funny you say that. Her and I talk about this almost daily, and a lot of our friends that are in similar adjacent industry. It's like, I personally am of the, I don't mean to sound like a negative Nancy out here, but I think it could be, this creator economy could be in potentially a slight bubble, and it could still go up before, I don't know. But all that being said is, I think it's very important for people that are in this world to understand that it might not always be as blue skies and lovely. And so that's why I think, you know, people like Serena, people like yourself that are either have created brands or continue to grow their brands or creating new brands, I think it's very, with longevity, that is like the most important thing. And I think it's always so cool to see like people like you that that are thinking about that. Cause we have friends that, well, and I love them, but it's I think that I always try, because I care about them and I want to see them succeed, is like, you know, the getting X amount of dollars for a TikTok day is, this might not happen in 50 years or even
so
10 or
now,
even 5.
But
get
plan
the bag.
Ahead.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I think what's cool is, it kind of goes back to what we were saying earlier. It's like there's so many, you have people, TikTokers on Abbott Elementary, you know, you have like, so there's opportunities. You just got to go and snatch them. And I think that, you know, based off of even the conversation we're having now, it's like, it's, you can understand that. And I think it's cool to have conversations like this too, so that more people that want to be content creators, which is awesome. And, you know, God bless, to understand that it's not as easy, mm-hmm. truthfully, longevity wise, than some other professions.
Oh, 100%.
And it, you know, the money can be great for a year, but year two, there's no promises.
Or
so.
1 month and then not the next, right? There's, I mean, I think that was a big thing for me. It's weird because I'm like, I'm in my content creator era, but like, I never wanted to be a content creator. You know what I mean? Like this happened in a very accidental moment.
Right.
And like, it's so fun. I love it. But the scope is so much wider than a million likes on a TikTok for me. Like that's cool. But there, everything has an expiration date, right? So for me, in the same way of like modeling got me a community of people who do enjoy my music and the people who enjoyed my music like my shoots, and the people who like my TikToks find the sponsored ads from the brands that I shoot for. And it becomes this big circle, right? This big cycle. And I want to do the same with the longevity of my career. I mean, we can't sit around and think that we're going to be doing this when we're 50, right? Like we can't be, thank you for the roses. Thank you for the, you know, it's, I don't think it's going to be around that long. It may be cool.
God, who knows?
It may be.
30 years ago, we didn't have the internet.
But you make a perfect statement of, you know, to utilize the opportunity when it comes, but to also instantaneously make that goal list. I mean, my phone is a notes app bucket list lockbox. I mean, it's just so many things that I want to cross off that list. And that was a big motivator for me when I was finding my manager, when I was figuring out what that next move would be, was finding a team of people who understand the large picture.
Right.
And also is like a crazy conversation too of like the influencer agencies of it all and the
nuts world.
It's nuts.
It's the wild, wild west it's out nuts. There, I swear.
But you really learn through that process what you want too, you know? And I feel so grateful for how it's worked out for me and having that time to figure out what I want. But yeah, the goal for everyone on the internet should be a business outside of the internet. Correct. You know? One way or another.
On a personal level.
Yeah.
What do you hope the next 5-10 years look like? And when you come back in 5-10, I mean, you come back soon, of course.
Yeah, I would hope to.
Of course. But where 5-10 years down the line, where do you hope to be in life, let's say?
I want to be happy. That's number one, always my goal is like to enjoy life. We don't get much time here. So I really want to enjoy my life, whether it's 2 years, 5 years, tomorrow. But I definitely want to be a mom and I want some like chickens and horses on a nice little ranch.
How many kids, chickens and horses?
Okay. More chickens and horses than kids.
I would be a little concerned if you said more kids than chickens.
Oh no, that would be haunting.
That'd be terrifying.
What was that movie? Children of the Corn? Scary. Yeah. That's not what we're going for here. I like the number two. I like the number two. I feel like I don't want to be outnumbered in the house. Like kind of scares me. My husband grew up with him and his brother in the house. I grew up with myself and my brother in the house. I like that.
Sounds like we have to.
Yeah. I just don't want to be outnumbered. That kind of scares me, you know?
Are you scared of them overtaking you guys?
Yeah. I had a psychic tell me that I was going to have three boys and the thought of like three middle school boys like yelling chaos at me in my house. Nightmare blunt rotation. No. Like nightmare. So I want to be happy. I want to be able to tour the world with my husband and really make a business and a life out of what I love. And happiness really is the goal, though. I feel like it's easy to have, like I said, those long bucket list of like specific things that you want. But it's also insane to think about how many people walk this earth, work their ass off every single day.
Yep.
And if you ask them if they're happy, it would take them a second to answer the question. And I think that that's something that like as an adult in the times that we've lived through, like if we can be happy with where our life is every day, that is like a sick thing to feel.
I love it. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time.
First of all, it was so lovely
to meet you.
So nice to meet you.
And next time David's in town, we have to go on a little double date.
I would love that.
You think I'm kidding?
I have followed Serena for years. Like when I tell you she's the queen of New York, like I believe it.
Oh, she 100% is.
Oh, I watched the podcast with you too.
Cheeky. Wait. Did you know? You know this is actually like the first time we met, right?
Yes.
Like people don't understand. Like, were you working that
session? I did my research as well. I did my research as well. And when I watched that, I was like, they are in love. Like this is happening.
But people don't like, they're like, oh, Felix, you invited, you had it. I'm like, no. First of all, I'm a professional first and foremost.
I could tell you were point trying to blank. Keep it professional. Like
that's how to really, get canceled. Course, I mean, 100%.
But also, I will give you some credit too. She said something that made me laugh in that interview where maybe it was the podcast of you all together where she was like, oh, like a straight man invited me onto
his
podcast. And I was like, what does he want to talk to me about, you know?
So funny.
I watched a few of your podcasts and you are so kind and so lovely to talk to that for her, I know that professionalism was not something that she was concerned about for you and you handled that really well. But the energy was palpable. That was crazy.
Yeah.
Like you both were just going at it.
Well, it's funny too, because especially as you followed her for a while, like I thought it was like the SFK persona, like cheeky. So I'm like, you know, I'll play into it, but like keep it professional. And then I started to realize it wasn't that. And then I was like, oh, okay, interesting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Walter was here. Her PR guy was here. Like, the cameras are on. You're like, you're trying to figure it out all in the swing. Yeah. And so some people like will still get comments that are like, oh, like, is this the first? Like, no. That's literally the first time I ever met her.
That's
like
so
crazy
cool to have that documented too. I mean, my God.
And which is so on brand for her, by the way. Like, she's like, no, the fact that our first date is on it. My mom was then when it came out, she was like taking notes to talk to me about it at lunch. She was like, I love that I get to watch my son on a first date. I was like, all right, let's.
Oh, that's cute. You're like, it's not our first.
I'm like, it's
mom.
Not our first date, but yes, it is.
No, the energy was just very lovely. Like, no, I you could see that. Her kind of take down the SFK.
Yes.
Armor, right? Yes. but also was 100% herself. It was very cool.
Do you you have the card games or no?
I don't. Hold but on. When I tell you and oh, you have them?
I have.
Oh, I need. But
somebody just they're open, but it's just because somebody the other day was in here and wanted to read a card out.
Oh, I need
but
to see.
No, you don't need to see. These are your. Oh, good. Oh. See, we still have.
Wow, boyfriend PR over here. Truly, that's iconic. I used to. I worked a 9-to-5, and sorry to that boss, but every once in a while I would be like, oh, I have a Zoom meeting with one of our clients later, and I would go home to watch Let's Fucking Date.
Yes. Obsessed.
I'd sit in my car in traffic and watch. Like,
no
I think she is the baddest. Yeah.
She is. So here, we have, this will be your deck.
Oh, I'm so stoked. We're playing at dinner tonight. I'm going to dinner with Harry later, Harry Hill.
Oh.
Her friend. So we're going to play.
Oh, he's played.
This This is so sick.
We'll get you.
This is good. This is good PR package right here.
It is. We'll get you. And then next time, how often are you in New York? Frequently?
I want to be here more. I used to live here for like three and a half years.
Where are you living?
So I live in LA right now.
Okay.
And my husband and I are buying a house in Nashville. We're super exciting. On the house hunt. It's super exciting and a lot all at once. But trying to be in New York more. I love it here. I miss it. So. We'll get that double date on the books.
For sure, whenever you guys are here.
He's got a Buffalo, New York date you guys should come to
if you
get out of the city ever.
Yeah, for sure.
I'd love that. Miranda, thank you so much for having
thank
me.
Thank you for coming in, and I appreciate you.
Thank you. We love you, Serena.